This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It is a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and there is absolutely no way you could pay me any amount of money to go check out a house with just some random light on that's as creepy as the Riddle House. I don't care if I've been working there for 50 years or not. I ain't going.
That's why you're not a Gryffindor.
Nope, not. I live to fight another day, ladies and gents. That light, not my problem. Not my chair, not my problem.
Because you know who would have done it?
Mary.
This lady right
here. Oh my God. She would have, as soon as she seen that light, she would have just ran right up there.
Those darn kids.
I'll get you, kids.
Can we take a moment before we delve into this episode to give Frank an honorary degree as a Gryffindor? Hold him in our hearts. He'll get like the post-mortem. How does that work? Postmortem.
Posthumous.
Posthumous.
A posthumous award.
You're dead, but you're a Gryffindor in our hearts, Frank.
Oh, poor Frank.
Okay, so this chapter, of course, is chapter number one of The Goblet of Fire.
No, you gotta say it right.
The Goblet of Fire.
The Goblet of Fire.
The Riddle House.
I'm going to say it every episode.
That'll start to wane on me. And then the chair was facing Frank, and he saw what was sitting in it. His walking stick fell to the floor with a clatter. He opened his mouth and let out a scream. He was screaming so loudly that he had never heard the words. The thing in the chair spoke as it raised a wand. There was a flash of green light, a rushing sound, and Frank Bryce crumpled. He was dead before he hit the floor. 200 miles away, the boy called Harry Potter woke with a start.
Oh, goodness gracious. This, I got to tell you, Mary.
As a non-book reader of The Goblet of Fire, tell me, Blake.
I got to tell you, I really like this chapter.
Oh, yeah, you do.
And, you know, it does get a little expository.
Expository?
Expository. There you go. That's a much better. SATs, Mary. She did better. Longest running joke in Mary and Blake media history. Mary did better than me on the SATs. That's okay. Yeah, it does get very expository, but I really like it. I like how this starts. I like how... I love the descriptors. This is an ingenious start to a book that... Well, you know what? We'll get into that.
Before we do, we wanted to remind you all that you are more than welcome to become members at jointhenerdclan.com. That is where our listeners of all of our podcasts at maryandblake.com get to show their appreciation. They also get bonus podcasts. They get early access to podcasts. We're actually going to be doing a Zoom meetup and also a live show watching. Blake's going to be announcing that probably tomorrow.
Live show watching?
Yes.
The subject and the time and date.
Yes. So we'll be making some big announcements for all of our friends for as little as $2 a month. You honestly get to contribute. You know how you want to support like mom and pop coffee shops or restaurants? We're a mom and pop podcast.
That's right.
So feel free, jointhenerdclan.com. For now, let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
So here we are, the first chapter of The Goblet of Fire.
For those
of you who have been following along with the Potterverse podcast, this is the first book that Blake had not read. So when we began dating...
Oh, wait, no. I didn't read the first two.
You're right.
I didn't read the first
You're
two.
You're right.
But I was happy to read the first two. This was the one where I was like, you know what? No.
You were like, that's too big. I'll just watch the movie.
Well, it wasn't that it was too big. It was just, I saw the movie and I said, there's no way I want to read this book.
Little did he know that a decade later, more than a decade later, he would be not only reading the book, but podcasting about it chapter by chapter. So this is going to be a brand new experience for so many of you.
Sorry. Leslie here on Facebook, she says, this book really sets the tone for the story here on out. No more Quidditch.
Pretty much.
I love how people are taking our things and using them against us. Sorry. It's good stuff.
So,
man.
You know, if you are someone who's read the series before, or maybe you're just starting, know that all are welcome here. But here we are in chapter one of The Goblet of Fire.
Yes.
So what happens? Quick little rundown. We learn about this interesting, mysterious muggle house called the Riddle House, where 50 years ago or so, three people were murdered. Not even necessarily murdered. They were just dead all of a sudden. The person who was blamed through the town gossip was their gardener, Frank Bryce. But because there was no evidence of how these people were killed, he was let off. And the Riddle House just went from owner to owner and eventually fell into despair. And it was picked up by some rich guy. And
disrepair.
Disrepair. Because there was despair. And Frank has continued to be the gardener all of this time. So in this chapter, Frank wakes up and sees that there's people inside this supposedly abandoned house, goes to check it out, meets Lord Voldemort, and gets killed by him. And then Harry Potter wakes up from a bad dream.
I have to ask you, Mary, are we going to stick with the Voldemort or are we going with the Voldemort? That's the question. Because Jim Dale, he transitions. He transitions in this book to Voldemort.
Okay.
So are we sticking with Voldemort or are we going to Voldemort?
You can do you. How are you feeling?
You do you, boo.
Yeah.
I've always been a Voldemort guy.
Okay. And I'm a Voldemort.
Okay. All right.
So we'll cover all the bases by the way that we pronounce his name. For those of you joining us live on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, do you do the tea or no tea?
That's a real question. And if you're listening to this in the podcast app, send us a message. Just put tea or no tea. That's all you got to do.
All right. So let's delve into this for a hot moment, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's start things off with this town and how we're starting off in a completely muggle world. We're not starting in Harry's perspective. Harry is nowhere in sight until literally the last sentence of this chapter. Mm-hmm. We're opening up, just getting to know this town and this house and the people that were in it and how they suddenly died. Mm-hmm. And how there's just been this wonderful half a century full of gossip and stories surrounding it and surrounding poor Frank the gardener.
Yeah. Yeah. The way that this is written, even how it all transitions, you know, we start off in this, you know, POV of just being in the town and that you were having the all knowing narrator telling us the story, but then it transitions into how the public can really not crucify, but they can make someone guilty very quickly and very easily. And the way this was actually my favorite part of the book, part of the chapter so far.
Okay, bring it on.
This is written, it is excellent. In their midst, and announced to the suddenly silent pub that a man called Frank Bryce had just been arrested. Note how this starts. Frank, cried several people. Never! Frank Bryce was the Riddle's gardener. He lived alone in a rundown cottage in the Riddle House grounds. Frank had come back from the war with a very stiff leg and a great dislike of crowds and loud noises, and he had been working for the Riddles ever since. There was a rush to buy the cook drinks and hear more details. Always thought he was odd, she told the eagerly listening villagers after her fourth sherry. Unfriendly like, I'm sure if I've ever offered him a cup once. I've offered it him 100 times. Never wanted to mix, he didn't. Ah, now, said a woman at the bar. He had a hard war, Frank. He likes the quiet life. That's no reason to... Who else had the key to the back door, then? Barked the cook. And this is when things start to turn. It was...
The cook.
Couldn't be him. It was the cook in the library. No, at first it was, nah, couldn't be him. You know what, though? I mean, he's a little bit weird. I mean, he refused my cup of tea. you know, and who
several times.
And goodness, who refuses a cup of tea in England? I don't know one English person that would ever refuse a cup
probably
of tea.
A lot of people.
I doubt it. Even if they were wearing the little tea diapers. No way. And then it transitions to, well, you know what? He had a hard war. Got that stiff leg, you know, made him walk a little funny. And then it turns into, well, who else could have had the key? Who else could have got the back door open? There's been a spare key hanging in the gardener's cottage as far back as I can remember. Nobody forced that door last night. No broken windows. All Frank had to do was just creep up to that big house while we was all sleeping. And the villagers exchanged dark looks.
Dun, dun, dun.
But the way that this is written is so specific. Note that he says there was this key that was in the back door. Like, it was hanging.
Yeah. Cook, you could have called them.
Implicitly, in this statement, everybody knows that key is hanging.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just have to be.
It doesn't have to be Frank.
Frank. It could have been anybody. It could have been any of you. But since we've already started down this path, it's got to be Frank.
Yeah.
I always thought he had a nasty look about him, right enough, grunted a man at the bar. Told you I didn't like to get on the wrong side of Frank, didn't I? Dot, said an excited woman in the corner. Horrible temper, said Dot, nodding fervently. I remember when he was a kid. And by the following morning, hardly anyone in Little Hangleton doubted that Frank Bryce had killed the Riddles. So not only did it go from, well, you know, he had a hard war. Maybe the war messed him up a little bit. You know, guy had a bad temper. You know, and as a matter of fact, I remember stuff before the one when he was a kid. Bad kid. Didn't like him. Bad
so
news.
So mean.
So quickly, boom, boom, yep. Boom, boom, boom. All of these people just start turning on him instantly. And I feel like that is how this story goes for Harry in many ways, at least from my perspective of the movie, how everybody, like, there is this crime that is committed somehow, some way, and instantly everybody turns on the one guy that didn't do what is said to be done. And as we all know, when Harry puts the, well, when the, his name ends up in the Goblet of Fire, hashtag spoilers, everybody blames Harry, and it all happens by word of mouth. It doesn't happen with any proof, nothing. It just, boom, done. That's it. And it's so special how the author introduces this concept right in the beginning, right up front, telling you right up front, this is what's going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, we're going to be introducing Voldemort in a way that has never been seen before. And Voldemort, by the end of this chapter, is going to give you his entire plan. And it's all done right up front.
Yeah.
Just like how she did, the author, last book. Everything right up front. It's only that you'd either, one, don't have enough information to glean what the book is going to be about, or two, you're not engaging enough to figure it out. But excellent writing. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
I concur. So let's have a moment for Frank.
Yes.
As I said in the beginning of this episode, in my heart, he's an honorary Gryffindor. As a Gryffindor myself, I'm just lighting a candle for Frank. Frank Bryce, who was strong and true, First World War.
Hold on. Do I have to play this? Do I have to play this for Frank?
Well done, Blake. That's a little nod to all of our Outlander fans, because Blake, of course, is in love with the character, Frank, from the books.
That's right. I'll never let go of Frank love.
But honestly, I mean, we've got this war veteran who most likely was injured within the war, and why he has a bad leg, comes back and is traumatized. They didn't have all of the different therapies that they have now for soldiers returning and dealing with shell shock and PTSD. And he just wants to garden. Okay, he doesn't want to be around people, doesn't want to be around drama or noise, just wants to be with the flowers and mow the grass and mind his own business. And yet he still cares so deeply for taking care of this house, and he's so proud of the work that he does that he will go and he will tell these ruffians who break into the house occasionally to scram.
Ruffians.
Scram, you guys. Get off my lawn. It's not your lawn. Get off it anyway.
Get off my lawn.
So I just love that he bravely walks into this house, realizes there's two men. Here's this plan to, like, murder people and all this stuff, and yet he's still there, and he stands true, and he comes up with a plan, like, my wife's going to know that I'm here. So five, like, just cheers for you, Frank.
Yes.
Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray.
Too bad Voldemort knows better. Too bad.
He is legitimate, your
little
too.
Plan, yeah, it's too bad your little plan don't work. Another interesting thing I really like, at least in the illustrated version, Mary, within the first two pages, there is exquisite writing. I love this here, too. The police were summoned, and the whole of Little Hangleton had seethed with shocked curiosity and an ill-disguised excitement. Nobody wasted their breath pretending to feel very sad about the Riddles, for they had been the most unpopular. Elderly Mr. and Mrs. Riddle had been rich, snobbish, and rude, and their grown-up son Tom had been even more so. All the villagers cared about was the identity of their murderer. Plainly, three apparently healthy people did not all drop dead of natural causes on the same night.
Agreed.
The writing here is exquisite. You get to know instantly everything you need to know about the Riddles.
Ish went down 50 years ago.
And they're rich.
Snobby.
They're snobby. And they don't seem to care about anything else around them, and they're rude. Just it gives you a sense of, I'm above you. I want nothing to do with you. Leave me alone. Which immediately sets a tone for Voldemort and why he is the way he is.
So we're entering to spoiler zone. For those of you who may be joining us for the first time as we enter into the Goblet of Fire, we do talk about things that come from upcoming books. And what we know as book readers of the series is that Lord Voldemort, Tom Riddle, the grandson of the people who own this property. So there were three people. There was Tom Riddle, aka Voldemort's grandmother, his grandfather, and then his muggle dad. All muggles. He went in when he was about 16 years old in Avada Kedavra'd all of them.
That's right.
Boom, boom, boom.
Goodbye.
Killing
you're
course,
dead.
Done.
D-E-D. Dead.
So, of course, there is no stab wounds. There are no shotguns. There is no poison when you have this kind of a curse. And we see Frank says the only person that he remembers even remotely walking around was some pale teenage boy, meaning Tom Riddle,
right,
a.k.a. Voldemort.
Which would also suggest that he simply doesn't know Tom Riddle. And that goes to show you either how much Tom actually interacted with his family.
Oh, so you know nothing, Jon Snow.
No, I don't.
Hit that little button for me.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. I got to find it here now.
I'll bring it back up.
All right, here it is.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Let me bring this up for you, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So, Tom Riddle, a.k.a. Voldemort, but right now we'll call him Voldy, okay? Because he was little. Voldy's mom, witch. Kind of like a little loopy witch. Not the smartest witch in the bunch. She fell in love with regular Tom Riddle. Dashing muggle Tom Riddle, senior.
Sure.
But it gets a little confusing. So just work with me. So Tom Riddle, muggle, hot shot, walking around. Voldy's mom sees him and is like, bow, chicka, wow, wow. Makes a love potion for him. Mm-hmm. Makes him fall in love with her. Marries her.
Gotcha.
Gets her pregnant. While she's pregnant with Voldy, she thinks, I'm having this guy's baby. We're totes going to be in love forever. Mm-hmm. Stops giving him said love potion.
Not great, Bob.
He gets off the love potion. He's like, what in the world? I would never be with you. And he moves back to his mom and dad's mansion. So Voldy's grandparents and his dad don't acknowledge his existence. And Voldy's mama, distraught with heartache, just drops Voldy off at a muggle orphanage.
Oh.
You're welcome for that recap, Blake.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
you. You're welcome, friends.
I appreciate you. Yeah, so it goes to show you how little interaction that he has.
None.
And none. And the fact that the gardener doesn't even know him, he's just hanging around this house, which also shows you that Tom does know his father, does know the family, and despises
it's
them.
So mad. So we get this reasoning of all of this hatred towards muggles. And it's really interesting when you think about the time period that this was around. So this was, of course, around the time of Hitler that all of this is taking place.
Yes.
You know, you have to keep this all into perspective. This is also very, very close to the time frame when Dumbledore defeat Grindelwald. Once again, Grindelwald was trying to be like a muggle-free world, keeping the wizards being above. So it's just very interesting that the world overall, the Potterverse and the Muggleverse, were battling this hierarchy of, sure, if you are not worthy to me. I mean, Voldemort, even in this chapter, says, Bertha Jorkins had no worth to me. So right, of course I killed her. That's like such a Hitler thing to say, like, you're not worthy to me. You so do not out. Need to be here. You can die. So it's really, really interesting that all of these major events with these villainous people, yeah, were happening around the same time as the Nazis were really coming
and,
to power.
And it goes to show you the push and pull between the two worlds. Yes, these worlds are technically separate. The wizard world and the muggle world, they are separate. They are kept separate on purpose. But there is a natural tension between the two. They are linked in their various DNA fragments. Mm-hmm. And Voldemort is a perfect example of how one world can possibly interface, interact, and I'm going to say inspire. That's not the right word.
I mean, you just wanted to keep using N-words?
Yes, I did. I did. I wanted that alliteration. It felt good to me. It felt natural. It felt like, yes, these two worlds, there's a natural push and pull. There's a natural tension between the two. Mm-hmm. Excellent stuff.
Another thing that I had it on the tip of my brain,
okay,
and it disappeared, Blake. So pick me up.
All right.
Pick me up. It'll come back.
Hey, can you sorry.
What?
How do you milk a snake?
Oh, you just went far in advance.
I did.
Oh, I know what it was. Okay, see, we're not go. Even there, Blake.
I know.
Look at you. You're like, I had you're to like find let's something. Get to the meat of the matter. Let's get to the question that everyone wants to know because I have multiple answers to
I
this.
I had to give you something. So okay. I got to jump out of your brain.
The Riddle House, triple pretty much homicide, but nobody really knows how it happened.
Yes.
There had been multiple owners, all who just kept Frank Bryce as their gardener.
Yeah.
Now he's had a long-standing wealthy person who doesn't show up to the property, still pays for Frank to kind of just like do the gardening and make sure that the house isn't ruined.
Sure.
And he's doing it like for tax write-off purposes. Thoughts?
The first thing I'm thinking of is Lucius Malfoy.
Boom. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. There is no substantial evidence in the books. Bam. But
a winner.
One can ponder that this wealthy beneficiary who owns this property could potentially be Lucius Malfoy, who has done other things on Voldemort's behalf.
Yes.
Who maybe Lord Voldemort had said, like, listen, I'm going to want this house because maybe I need a hangout. Okay. So just keep this house, keep it chill for me. I've got some issues with the peeps who used to live in there. Let's just like keep this house tight. Like, keep it for me.
Yep.
Or it could just be a muggle who honestly wants to have it for a tax write-off. But I do think that that is a interesting to put in. I also want to talk about, so Frank, he goes in and he understands that there's a couple of old men with weird voices talking. Wormtail is called Wormtail by Voldemort.
Yeah.
From here on out, he is Wormtail.
Yes.
He is not Peter Pettigrew.
He has transitioned and he's lost all connection to the human Peter Pettigrew.
Why Wormtail?
What do you mean?
Okay. So he was given that nickname when he was a marauder and he was hanging out with all these Gryffindors and his besties.
Sure.
Why would that still be the nickname that he would want to be referred to as? So he was Scabbers for 12 years.
Yes.
He was Peter Pettigrew for almost all his life. Then he goes to Hogwarts where his best friends, who he essentially gets killed or sent off to jail, called him Wormtail. He is then Scabbers. Now he's free. Why does he not go by Peter?
Well, because Peter is the innocent child in him, and that is gone.
Then why go by Wormtail? Okay,
because
if you can like
tell
this
you
rebirth
why.
Of yourself, and if you're like, okay, it's time for me to come up with my evil villain mastermind name. He could have literally been like, Voldemort made up his new name.
I'm going to be Chuck Norris.
Seriously. Why didn't Peter Pettigrew be like, listen, Voldy, from here on out, I'm Chuck Norris.
Because, you know, Voldemort don't know who Chuck Norris is.
No, but instead he's like, from here on out, Voldy, call me Wormtail. And Voldemort was like, really. Like, I'm Lord Voldemort. Like, that's kind of cool and, like, yeah, tough guy. You're talking about Worm Tail, which, A, not cool, man.
Yeah.
But B, like, why would you keep that nickname? Is it, like, a longing for, is that a bit of guilt?
Absolutely.
He still wants to, totally, like, be guilt, clinging to that?
Totally guilt. Part of it, I think, is it's guilt, and it is something that he now associates himself with because he used his ability to escape Sirius Black, you know, during the whole thing.
Rat tail.
It's possible.
I know that his tail looked like a worm as a rat, but still.
We got a bunch of people chiming in here, and I like all this. Deanna says, Wormtail so that Voldemort can still insult him by teasing him with his name. And we have, we have Janine saying Wormtail's a vile name, and Nancy saying that Voldy is degrading him with the pet name.
Yes.
Yeah, all absolutely valid.
Totally valid.
But the other thing, too, is, you can't pick your own nickname. You're not allowed to pick a nickname. That's it.
If you're an evil villain, Voldemort chose his nickname.
Yeah, see, but that's the kind of guy he is. And nobody likes it. In fact, it's so bad, nobody says it. Nobody's allowed to say it because it's such a bad nickname. You can't choose your own nickname. That's it. It's against the rules. You might as well go buy a t-shirt at a concert and wear it at that concert.
Good for you.
Might as well be that guy.
I would have chosen Chuck Norris.
You can't choose your nickname.
Too bad. I would have. I would have been like, I'm putting down my little foot, and I'm going to do this.
Chuck Norris.
So we've got Frank standing outside, tiptoeing. He hears these guys. He's like, they definitely have a fire. And then Frank realizes they're talking about killing some lady named Bertha Jorkins.
Yeah. This is a rando. Okay. I have no idea.
Awesome. This is why I'm so excited to delve into the series with you. So many important things happen in this chapter, my friends. Bertha Jorkins worked at the Ministry of Magic.
Okay.
She was on holiday, probably having pina coladas. I was getting caught in the rain.
Getting caught in the rain.
And Peter Pettigrew was like, oh, I'm free. Yay. I would like pina coladas. And he probably like bumped into Bertha Jorkins at some little like pretty little hut. And they were like, cheers. What do you do? Oh, I work for the Ministry of Magic. What do you do?
My name's Chuck Norris. How are you?
I need to capture this woman because she's going to like put two and two together. So here he is. He captures Bertha Jorkins. He brings her to Lord Voldemort. Voldemort takes some of her memories, kind of pretty much like takes her brain and just goes through the Rolodex of all the important things that he needs to know. Mm-hmm. And then he kills her because she's worthless to him.
Got it.
And Peter Pettigrew feels a wee bit guilty about this. Like, couldn't you have just altered her memory?
Sure.
You know, just...
And this is not going to go unnoticed. Like, someone's going to see what's going on here.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what he's telling Voldemort. And the other thing, too, is that he's not...
Who's he? You do a lot of pronouns.
You know, you're right. It's a bad mistake that I have.
Is it Wormtail or Voldemort?
Wormtail.
Okay.
Wormtail seems scared about the idea of getting Harry, like bringing Harry back into the fold and like capturing him.
Basically, like, okay, I just spent a couple of years with Harry Potter. He's super duper protected. Mm-hmm. Snape's kind of weird with him. And he's already beat Voldemort a couple of times. He's seen it. He's been Scabbers this entire time. He's sitting there being like, A, he's super protected, but he might also be like, buddy, first time, shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Second time, shame on you. Like, third time is not going to be your
They ain't going to be a charm. Nope.
No. Like, we did Sorcerer's Stone fail.
Yeah.
We did Chamber of Secrets.
Epic fail.
Prisoner of Azkaban. I don't know where you were. You were just like having some snake milk. But here we are. Like, I don't know if this is going to work, buddy.
Maybe we should rethink this plan.
Yeah.
You know, just take this idea, put it in a box. You know, and,
but alas,
and take that box
tail,
and put it on a shelf.
He's too cowardly to say this, to give him a little common sense, you know. And then it even says, like, can't we just capture somebody else? Like, give me a day, man. I will go out and I will gladly capture you, some other wizard or witch, to make this worth it. Voldemort does say, like, we need to kill one more person before we go after Harry Potter. I am 99% sure that this is a writer flaw. Like a book flaw.
And what do you mean?
He says, like, we need to kill one more person before we go after Harry Potter.
Yes.
Nothing comes of that. People do die. Mm-hmm. People do die.
Yes.
But there is no, like, that was Voldemort's plan to kill said person before he actually gets to Harry Potter in this book.
Good point.
So 99.9% sure this was just like put in there and then they just forgot to edit it out. That maybe it was part of his plan to kill the new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher and just to have Barty Crouch Jr. actually be him.
Oh, that makes sense, yeah.
Instead of just having him be held captive.
Yep.
Barty Crouch Sr. does get killed in here. But that's not necessarily part of Voldemort's plan. So just a fun little bit there for you if you're scratching your head that it's thrown in. But it really, in my opinion, it doesn't go anywhere. Okay, so let's get to the milking.
Well, hold on. Let me just say this real quick here. My lord, I must speak, said Wormtail, panic in his voice now. All through our journey, I have gone over the plan in my head. My lord, Bertha Jorkins' disappearance will not go unnoticed for long. And if we proceed, whispered a second voice, if you follow the plan, Wormtail, the ministry need never know that anyone else has disappeared. You will do it quietly and without fuss. He's telling him, you will do this and you'll do it without giving me any crap. Without fuss. That's it. You're going to do it quietly.
When I have told people to do things without fuss, my 5 and 8-year-old, there is fuss.
There's all the fuss.
You're going to clean your room and you're not going to pout about it.
There will be no fuss.
There'll be no fuss. Fuss masters over there.
And then fuss explodes.
Yes.
All over the house.
And Wormtail will fuss in this series, so dinner fash.
I only wish that I could do it myself, but in my present condition... Come, Wormtail.
I really wish I could do it myself.
One more obstacle removed and our path to Harry
See,
Potter is
this.
Clear.
One more obstacle removed. Removed.
Yes. Hold on. I'm not asking you to do it alone. By that time, my faithful servant will have rejoined us. I am a faithful servant, said Wormtail, the merest trace of sullenness in his voice. Wormtail, I need somebody with brains, somebody whose loyalty has never wavered, and you, unfortunately, fulfill... neither requirement.
It's when the breakup should have happened.
I found you, said Wormtail.
Yeah.
And there was a definite sulky edge to his voice now. I was the one who found you. I brought you Bertha Jorkins. That is true, said the second man, sounding amused. A stroke of brilliance I would not have thought possible from you, Wormtail. Though, if truth be told, you were not aware of how useful she would be when you caught her, were you? I thought she might be useful, my lord. Liar! Said the second voice again, the cruel amusement more pronounced than ever. However, I do not deny that her information was invaluable. Without it... I could never have formed our plan, and for that, you will have your reward, Wormtail. I will allow you to perform an essential task for me, one that many of my followers would give their right hands to perform. Let's listen to that sentence again. Listen to that sentence again.
Oh, Easter egg.
I will allow you to perform an essential task for me, one that many of my followers would give their right hands to perform.
Laying it right out there.
Oh.
You best be ready to give your right hand, Wormtail.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, author. Thank you, thank you, thank you for this.
So here he is being like, you're not really worth that much to me. I need to get someone who's a better version of you. Yes, you did save me. And you can't leave me because I need you to milk Nagini.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about milking snakes here.
Yeah.
I know snakes don't got nipples. I got nipples, Fokker. Could you milk me?
For those of you who thought he just said a bad word, it wasn't. It was a different word. It's from Meet the Fockers, the movie. Okay, so what we need to know about Nagini is not your average snake.
No, because she was cursed.
She's
right?
A maledictus.
A maledictus, okay.
Which means that she was cursed with a blood curse.
Yes.
We don't learn this until the Fantastic Beasts script in movies.
Correct.
But you do know that Nagini is a magical snake. She's a very different kind of snake than just the boa constrictor that was in the zoo. A lot of people were like, was Nagini the boa constrictor? No. Boa constrictors don't have venom.
Right.
Nagini has venom.
Okay. Yep.
Nagini used to be a woman who then had this blood curse.
Yes.
Some people die from said blood curse, including Draco Malfoy's wife.
Really?
Ends up dying because she's a maledictus and she has a blood curse. And
hashtag spoilers did not know this.
Sorry. sorry. Draco lives a sad life when he grows up.
Wouldn't have seen that one coming.
So part of me was like, can they milk Nagini? Because Nagini was originally a woman. So does Nagini have nipples after all? The answer is no. Milking a snake actually means that you're taking the venom out of their fangs. Yeah. So it's not like milking udders. Milking a snake, and that's actually a term that like people do use when you're milking, like people milk snakes to take out their venom. So Voldemort needs this snake venom from Nagini, and he mixes it with unicorn blood, and that ends up becoming kind of this like meal, this life force that he needs to stay alive. So it is a really awkward, weird thing. But that's what it is. There are no nipples. There are no udders. It is not because Nagini was a woman. Literally, what it just means is Wormtail needs to take some kind of vial to Nagini's fang.
A new shirt should be, I got nipples, Wormtail. Can you milk me? And it should just be Boa Constrictor.
People will get it.
Oh, no, they wouldn't. But you know, it'd be fun. It would be fun. It would just be for all of our listeners, and it wouldn't sell one shirt, but it would be hysterical. Can we talk a little bit about...
Can we?
Can we, Mary? Can we really? Can we really, though, talk about Voldemort and his current state?
Hmm.
It's I think, intentionally vague, obviously.
I like to picture him as the Voldy that gets thrown into the pot in the movie / the Voldy that's underneath the seat in the eighth movie.
Yes.
That's the Voldy that I'm picturing in this chair right now. Kind of like, you know those movies where like there's a menacing bad guy and they turn this really big chair around and it's just like a little white cat?
Yes.
I don't know like what movie I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of like a James Bond film. Except
like a kid animated animal version.
Gotcha.
And it's just like a little white cat being like, because that's really what it is. He's just this little form that's not necessarily a man that Peter Pettigrew has to like turn around so that way he can face Frank. He is strong enough to hold a wand.
I could just see him with his little legs like crossed.
Oh yeah.
Sitting like this. Yes. Good.
Yes.
Tapping his fingers like Mr. Burns.
So Frank comes on in and he's like, I heard you. Oh, first, Frank doesn't barge in. Frank's like ready to go call the cops.
Oh,
Frank, who hates the cops,
distrusts them since they arrested him back in the day.
And he's like, and I hate everyone in the town, but I'm going to go tell them. And just as he's about to, a giant snake comes up, man. Mm-hmm. A 12-foot long snake comes up. And all of a sudden, this guy starts, and he's talking to the snake, which snakes don't even have ears, but this is a magical world, so we're okay. We're okay with that, right?
Hold on. Time out. You know what I just had a thought about?
Ears?
No, not at all.
What?
All right. This just broke my brain. Voldemort is drinking milk from Nagini.
Venom.
Sure, whatever. Stats are for nerds.
Mixed with unicorn blood.
Nagini has a piece of Voldemort's soul in her.
Yeah.
He's drinking his own soul.
Yeah, that works. He's drinking like Horcrux juice. He's like, oh, I need to stay alive. How about I drink a piece of my soul juice?
Stop it. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, Benjamin Button that. Right?
Benjamin Button. Oh, that was good.
You're welcome.
That was good, Marvin. Good job.
Thanks.
Wow, that is crazy. I just put that together.
Yeah, and then Frank dies, and then Harry Potter wakes up from a bad dream 200 miles away. Not great, Bob.
Yeah, not great, Bob.
Frank is trying to like stand up for himself when he is outed, you know, that he's hiding behind this door, the smuggle's behind this door, and he's like, oh, my wife knows I'm here, and people are going to be questioning, and Voldemort knows he has no wife, which leads me to the Lucius Malfoy is funding this project a little bit more. Granted, Voldemort has legitimate, so he can read people's minds. He doesn't have eye contact with Frank at this point. The chair is back to Frank, but Snape says eye contact makes it easier. Mm-hmm. That some people can read minds, but eye contact with a person makes it easier, which leads me to believe that if someone is strong in legitimins and strong in mind reading, that they don't need to be looking in each other's eyes. Voldemort is really, really skilled at this. And maybe like muggles are just so simple that he can just do it. Or if it's not the legitimins that helps Voldemort know he doesn't have a wife, it's because he's got the inn and Lucius Malfoy owns the property and says, yeah, it's just a single gardener still. Yeah. And he's like, of course I know. I've been helping fund this project all along, buddy.
Right, right. Or the creepy version is that Voldemort has been spying on your boy Frank for a while and knows that the guy ain't married. He ain't gonna get married because he's the creepy guy. So he's been like casing the place for a long time. Mm-hmm. That's the creepy version. A lot of people, Deanna says Horcrux juice, and Amy says shirt that. Yeah, Caitlin says that's the new shirt with a picture of a snake. Yes, excellent stuff.
So what's interesting is that Voldemort didn't need to kill Frank. Did not need to kill him.
Well,
he could have used a simple memory charm on Frank. Now, granted, memory charms can be altered. He talks about that. He says this is why I didn't want to do it with Bertha Jorkins, mm-hmm. because memory charms can be switcherooed. But we're talking about a simple muggle gardener, mm-hmm. who has no friends, who doesn't go into town and like really hang out with people that much. He could have just altered his mind, but he didn't. He chose to kill him. And by choosing to kill him, this is what sets some things into action later on in this book in regards to Dumbledore. Dumbledore realizes that Frank is dead.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Gotcha. How much does Dumbledore know?
He knows everything.
He knows. Dumbledore knows all.
Everything.
You know, there is another part of the characterization here. I've been saying that the author is wildly talented in this chapter, and she is. And there is another little bit of characterization that I love, especially for Frank in this case.
Oh, R.I.P.
What's that you're calling me? Said Frank defiantly. Mm-hmm. For now that he was inside the room, now that the time had come for some sort of action, he felt braver. It had always been so in the war. Like, think of that. Think of what that must be like for someone who was in war, got a stiff leg and got messed up in the war because of that. And what that means for a soldier who's in the thick of a battle and there's something that just clicks in you, that makes you do the thing that you need to do. He's 80 years old and it clicks in on him. And instead of cowering, instead of falling to his knees, crying in desperation for help, he stands out and says, "What'd you call me?" And mm-hmm. he knows that this is the time that he has to do it. And I also think that there is a little bit of a connection here in that we are calling Frank a Gryffindor. And this is a mirror potentially for Harry a little bit, in that Harry does the same thing. He stands up to Voldemort but doesn't die. Like he eventually takes what happens and lives. And not only did he do that as a baby, but he does that later on. And this is the mirror. This is the opposite of that. That brave thing does kick in for Frank. That mm-hmm. brave thing does kick in for Harry. But Harry's exceptionalism is what keeps him alive.
Agreed.
You know, I really like that. I like that. I like that pull. It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Anything else that you want to
No, I think say? We got it. We got it all done.
I like the start of this book, Mary.
Yeah.
I like the start of this book
scary.
Because it is scary. It sets you up in a completely foreign world.
It is not anything from the trolley.
Not at all.
It's death.
And, you know, we've talked about it. Like, yes, the first book doesn't start immediately in Harry's POV mm-hmm. like the other two books do, mm-hmm. You know, the second and third book. But it's still different because it's surrounding Harry. It's Harry adjacent, if you will. And it's setting up the world for Harry, the first book. This book is setting you up. The last book was so special because it was about Harry himself. It was about Harry the person, Harry the kid, Harry the relationship to Sirius Black. This is now giving you a totally opposite perspective and setting up Voldemort the person. So remember, this is my favorite example of this kind of writing tool. Batman Begins. Remember Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan?
Oh, we know.
Okay. Batman Begins is about how Batman came to be, how Bruce Wayne is what he is, and he becomes Batman. However, The Dark Knight is about the Joker. Mm-hmm. And whenever you set up your hero and you give us the story of who they are, the next big important step to help define that hero is define their opposite and define, even though they are opposites, they still fight for the same thing and they still have similar traits, but they go about two totally different ways to achieve them. And that is what is happening in this book. It calcifies the turn into darkness that happens in the third book. And actually it makes it whole. It says, okay, we've made the turn in the third book. Now we're going for it. Mm. And I like how this book starts this way. If it didn't start this way, I would be disappointed.
Well, there you go. Now you know why it's a lot of people's favorite.
Do you think this is the book that makes the turn?
Yes.
Like that, or do you think it happens in the third book?
It's now.
It's now?
It's now.
I don't know. I would love to hear, you know, the listeners' thoughts and people who are watching us live right now. I still think it's the third one, because edgy Harry comes out, man. Harry's got an edge in the third one. And that edge did not exist in the first
second
book. I mean,
edges happen with all 13-year-olds. This is a turning point for Voldemort.
Yes. Yes.
I think Harry would have been edgy with or without Voldemort at 13 years old, as most people are.
Yep. All right, anything else you want to say?
No.
Nope. All right, you ready for a different perspective?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Holy cricket! You're Harry Potter! I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Frank.
Frank, buddy, having a bad day, huh?
Okay, man. So, hold on, I have to get his accent. Little town. It's a quiet village. Every day.
Yeah.
Like the one before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Little town. Full of little people.
Yeah.
Waking up to say, you're a murderer! You're a murderer! You're a murderer!
You're not a murderer, though, right?
I'm actually a ghost right now. I'm a ghost.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't even know there was a thing.
Are we playing like a Ouija board here? Like, how'd you show up?
I'm in somebody's wand. You're gonna see me later at the end of this book. I'm not really a ghost. Because I'm not a wizard, which there are those things.
No.
So here's what happened.
Okay.
Oh, boom. Boom happened.
Uh-huh.
I'm entering the pearly gates. I get a wicked nice white robe.
Wait, I thought you were in a wand.
Okay, just work with me. Okay? I'm dead. I'm dead.
Walk along the path.
I opened my eyes. I'm walking. I walked toward the light. Uh-huh. I've got like a lot of accents going on right now. I don't know what's going on. I walked to the light.
Uh-huh.
And got my white robe. Got a little hop.
Yeah, got a little hop.
I became an angel.
When did you learn how to play a hop?
In heaven. They told me.
Is it like a Matrix download?
I met this lady. I've never had a lady in my life before.
Uh-huh. Oh,
he's now New York, and I think.
Yeah.
Her name was Bertha. And she said,
her name's Bertha.
Hey!
Oh!
Hey! Oh, high five, killed by Voldy.
Hey, twinsies.
And I said.
Wait, who?
Whoa. What? I was just with some guy who was trying to milk a snake. You can't milk a snake.
And a baby killed me.
I've seen some stuff, man.
Yeah. You've seen some stuff. You were in the war.
I was in the war.
Yeah.
Hurt my leg. Uh-huh. Got accused of murder.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never seen nothing like this.
A baby drinking it from a snake?
But I'm going to come back.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to know why?
How are you going to come back?
Because I got this sticker that says I'm an honorary Gryffindor. And I'm going to come back.
Do you even know what a Gryffindor is?
I don't even know. It's something with a muffle muggle. I don't even know. But they told me I should be very proud.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm coming back.
You want to know what could be worse?
What?
You could have been a Hufflepuff.
End scene.
Boom! Boom! Nailed it.
Oh, I need to figure out Frank's accent, though. He went through the ringer.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Well, luckily he doesn't really come back into the end.
Hey, you know what? I just was thinking
as... He's not really a ghost. You appreciate and understand that,
no,
right?
No, I got you. Okay. I got you. I was just thinking about this. I was just thinking about this. Frank is, you know, he's a gardener. He lives in this little hut outside of this big house.
I wouldn't say a hut, but yes, his own little...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cottage.
He's got a little hut. He's got a little... Stats are for nerds. You know who also has a little hut that works with the earth and lives outside this big house?
My favorite character in the entire series.
It's your boy Hagrid.
He is. It's who is also a Gryffindor.
You're a wizard, Harry.
And...
Until he was expelled.
BT Dubs, why was he expelled? Because of a crime Voldemort commits. And...
Voldemort's the worst.
Where did he go? To Azkaban.
Yes, Blake. He sure did.
I know. I'm saying...
I don't know
Frank was put in jail, too. And then he was let loose.
Okay.
See? Okay. See, these are all...
Frank is the muggle Hagrid.
He's the muggle Hagrid.
Okay. I won't fully go there, but I like
He's Magrid.
Okay.
Mugrid.
Okay. I dig it.
See? I'm just telling you. There are some similarities here. This is good stuff. See? I like that.
Okay.
All right. All right. Very good. All right. So now it is time for the listener questions.
You know what people should do?
What?
You know how people have like Harry Potter themed parties and sure. They like make the floating candles from the ceiling with like empty toilet paper rolls and they put the like flameless candles inside of it mm-hmm. and they use fishing line. Mm-hmm. People need to serve milk. Like little milk cartons, but like right on it, like
Horcrux.
Straight from a Nagini. Yeah.
No, we need to make a drink. Horcrux juice. You know how many nerds would buy that?
No, that's not what something that I would like to have.
No, people would buy that in droves. No. Horcrux juice popsicles.
All set.
Horcrux juice alcoholic drinks.
You can have it, Slytherin. We will just stick with
I'd be all about that life.
Juice.
I'd be all about that
right,
life.
Right, let's all move right, on.
Let's do it.
Oh, Miles here.
So this is when we answer all the questions that you have for us in regards to the Potterverse or as it relates to whatever you want to talk about in the Potterverse. We are here for you.
I do want to chime in. Mo Whitman on Facebook says, Hufflepuffs have the best snacks. Frank would have liked us. Rachel Dido says, and we would have given him a heating pad for his legs. For his leg, yes. Exactly.
Oh, Hufflepuff, man.
Did we have any emails?
I think we did have an email.
Friends, this is your moment for the friends joining in live on Instagram, YouTube, or Facebook to submit your question or your feedback. If you'd like it read live on the podcast, just start your comment with a lightning bolt emoji. And I'm also going to take this moment to remind you that you can join our complimentary text reminder service by using your telephone. You dial in the U.S. only. Mm-hmm. You dial the phone number 81010. Yes, it's not 10 digits long, just go with it. 81010. And in the message field, do the @ Elderwand. ELDERWAND. So the @ straight into Elderwand. You get that. You're going to get my complimentary text. I let you know when we're going live. If you're outside the US, you can simply join by going to remind.com/join/Elderwand.
All right. So Destiny here asks, what part of book 4 are you most excited to podcast about? Mary, since I have not read the book.
I know. I actually would like to know what you think since you haven't read the book. This is what I'm most excited about, honestly, like just the overall that Blake has never read this book. And this is quite an extraordinary book in the series. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, I am excited to experience this with all of you, but also as Blake's virgin enterprise into the Goblet of Fire.
The Goblet of Fire. I'm going to make that a sound clip. It's going to happen. I have to do it. All right. What am I most excited about?
You're excited about Spew.
Oh, God. Oh.
No.
You don't even
God,
know.
Please, no.
Don't
no,
even know how annoyed you're going to
no,
be with that.
No!
That's right, Michael. I want nothing to do with
Spew. You don't even know who Winky is?
I don't even care. Don't even care.
You will. You will care about Winky.
Man, I will not. I just how... I, never mind. I can't go that far. No, you know, I'm kind of interested in seeing Mad-Eye Moody. But obviously, it's Barty Crouch Jr. I want to see the little ticks, and I want to see the clues that are left by the author to let you know that it ain't Mad-Eye Moody.
Okay.
That's what I'm most interested in seeing, because it happens in the movie, obviously, and it's not distinct until you know it. And then when you know it, it's very distinct. So I'm looking forward to seeing how she crafts this story around Mad-Eye Moody with Barty Crouch Jr.
Cool.
So I think that's it.
Were there any?
I did not see any.
Caitlin Marie says, do you think Nagini will willingly let Wormtail milk her, or is it like giving a cat a bath? I think Nagini will.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, because she knows that, you know, she knows that it's got to happen.
Deanna on Facebook says, so is Wormtail aware of the connection debt Harry's mercy created? No, he is not aware that he is now indebted to Harry because of Harry saving his life at the end of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Ellen asks, Blake, you want to know, how they milk a snake. They basically grab the snake by the neck and have them bite onto saran wrap.
I've seen that.
That is wrapped around the top of a plastic cup. Mm-hmm. The venom then gets caught in said cup, and the process is called milking
the snake. Have you never seen that?
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. I've seen it like multiple times on nature shows. And this is what how kind you of
nature
like,
shows are you watching?
I watch a lot of stuff.
How
man.
How much? What? When are you like watching these nature shows?
All my life. All my life.
Oh, hold on. There. That.
And we said
that's like three.
Thank you for our This Is Us fans this week. You got to have that jam, that slow jam. All right. So that does it.
No, no. We got some more. Hold on. We got some more here. Mayan asks, what is your favorite moment from the book, Mary?
Ooh, you know, Mayan, you can ask me that at the end of this reading, because I think I'm going to be finding new things that may become my new favorite.
Amy says, I feel like Horcrux juice would have a lot of tequila in it. Yes. That would be the primary ingredient.
And Voldy just like dances on his little chair.
Patricia asks, would you read this book with your kids? Initially, when I first read this book, I was surprised by the darkness of it, which continues on in the rest of the series.
So our kids they've been listening books 1 through 5, audiobook version. This is the scariest book for our 5-year-old.
Yeah, she doesn't like this one.
Yeah, she does not like this one that much. So would I read it with the kids? I think if you just preface it with youngsters saying like, Harry Potter's going to win.
It's going to be okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Voldemort's going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
It'll Big time fine. Trouble.
Until you get to the whole Cedric thing. The Cedric thing's going to be a little tough. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I think that's it. That's all we got.
Okay.
Ready to close this bad boy out?
I sure am.
Let's get her done. You know, Marvin, I thought that this was going to be a short episode today.
You were totally off.
I was way wrong. I thought, you know, half hour, in and out, boom, bang, done. Nope, wrong. We're at 57 minutes already.
Welcome to the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to be a long process.
We come here to study. This is a great book, and we want to thank those of you who joined us either through your podcast app or joining us live. We would love to take a moment and request that you head on over to the Apple Podcasts app or website and leave us a written rating and review for the Potterverse. If you haven't done that before, just take 2 minutes out of your week and do that for us. We have finally busted into the top 20 of the Harry Potter worldwide.
Top 15, baby.
Top 15 of the Harry Potter podcasts that come up.
In the world.
Yes. So we would love to be able to get into the top 10 so more people can join in the Potterverse. Also, join in with us live. If you are joining us, make sure you hit that share button. Friends on Instagram, you can screenshot this and pop it in your stories. And even if you're not joining us live, you can still screenshot your podcast app.
Yep.
Throw us in there and tag us at Mary and Blake Media. We would love to give you a little shout out. On that note, my name is Mary.
My name is Horcrux Juice.
Mischief managed.
We
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.